Welcome to the FASD Success Show, the only podcast where you can get real-world information about fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. This show will help you create calm in the chaos, have hope for the future, and more importantly, save your sanity so you don't lose your flipping mind. Now, here's your host, caregiver turned world FASD educator, Jeff Noble.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to the FASD Success Show. It is I, Jeff Noble. I am your host. This is episode 128. Whether this is your first episode or your 128th episode, I am just so glad you are here spending time with me when you could be doing literally anything else. And I know your time is precious, especially if you are raising an individual with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. That's why this podcast is called FASD Success. It is all about creating success for you, for your loved ones on the spectrum, so we can have better days at home, be awesome in the community. And how do we do that? We do that by interviewing people who are doing amazing things, all the way from research, scientists, individuals on the spectrum, psychologists, doctors, you name it, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. There are a lot of people in the world doing amazing things. And at the end of the day, it all comes back to the caregiver. I am super excited because this is honestly my favorite time of year. I know you're like, what? Middle of October, we're still a few weeks away from Halloween. I get that. I'm excited now because it is time for me to get in front of you and to do some training. It is time for our annual FASD workshop. We call it the Caregiver Kickstart Workshop. And I'm so excited. Besides that, because I'll talk about that in a minute, I am going to be sharing success stories. We did this last year where I just shared what people in my community were straight up, what they were learning, what was working for them. And I'm going to do it again here too, because it directly correlates to the workshop that we're doing. And the workshop is going to be all about what people are doing now. How are they handling things now? How are they managing behaviors? How are they advocating? How are they managing themselves? How are they managing expectations? How are they teaching others? All of these things we're going to be discussing, and they're going to share how they do it. Isn't that fun? And then at the end of the episode, we're going to talk about it. But this is going to be egregious in terms of the next month where I'm just talking about my workshop. You can go to fasdsuccess.com/FASD workshop. I know, pretty clever, right? FASD success/FASD workshop. It starts on the 6th of November. We're starting it on a Sunday. It'll be 4 p.m. Eastern. It's a week long. We have 3 live sessions, and it is going to cover a lot of bases. We're going to have a private Facebook group, and we are going to have my community in there, and I'm going to teach, and I'm also going to share what is working now. What is working now and what is helping people prepare for the future, because we know that dealing with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder is the long-term game, but it could be very overwhelming if you have been just battling and fighting for the last umpteen years. And I know that this is reaching. I know that you are listening. If you are sick of the fighting with your spouse, fighting with the kid, fighting with the school, having the spouse's fight, not understanding what's going on, and frankly, scared about the future. So for the past decade, we've had this workshop, and we're doing it again. And it starts November 6th, and I'm going to teach my heart out, and you are going to learn from others. And it's going to be excellent, because every year it's excellent. And also every year I just get better and better and better doing it. Now, I put out a soft registration just to our audience, just to our group, and I think I did that about 2 or 3 days ago, and we already have 683 people that are registered. Like, I'm looking at it right now. That's amazing, but I know there's so many more out there, and I'm just making sure. That's why I'm putting it on my personal social media and in our closed free group and on our page and talking about it here. I'm going to scream from the rooftops, because when you know you can do something and you can help people, and you have helped people, and so you want to help more people, sometimes you just have to yell really loudly. So at least the next month, I apologize, but not really at all. I am going to be just out there. I want you to come to the workshop. If you like the podcast, it's really like this, but you're going to see me because we're going to have it on Zoom. And I'm just going to teach. I'm going to teach you, and you can come hang out with me, hang out with my community, and just not be alone or isolated and get that info. So not only at home, you know what's going on. I'm also going to teach you about advocacy. I'll be giving you a plan on what to do to move forward so you're not just stuck or flying by the seat of your pants. So go to fasdsuccess.com/FASD workshop and then you just put your name and your email in and we will send you all the information. Again, it's 100% free. You could share it with people, send it to people. There's somebody on your team or a teacher, because it's me. It's going to be a lot of fun. I need to make it fun. In fact, my strategy is often to get people to laugh. And then when they laugh, they just relax and then they are more receptive to what I have to say. So it's going to be entertaining. I love doing it. I really love this year's version because we are really focusing on and emphasizing on what's working right now in all areas from aggression to self-regulation. So our first family we're going to talk to today is Sarah and Brad Evans, and they are from Indiana. They had 5 bio kids, then they got 2, a niece and nephew that were on the spectrum, and you're going to hear about their journey, but more importantly, you're going to hear about what works. And then afterwards, when we come back after the interview, I am going to go into depth and rehash the major points. And so then you'll be able to add things to your tool belt. So much fun. All right. So if I'm ready, you're ready. All right. Let's go. All right. Here I am, everybody. I got some good friends here. I have Brad and Sarah Evans. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys for being here. You have 7 at home, right? Okay, let's try and divide this up. It was the 2 that you had adopted that are either on or suspected of being on the spectrum, correct? What was life like before they came?
We're a very loud, outgoing family involved in the community. We're a family of faith, so we're involved in lots of capacities, but everybody knows us in our community. And Brad was a firefighter, first responder, so I mean, everybody knows us. And everybody loved our kids. Everybody loved our family. And we just brought a fun dynamic to that. And we homeschooled as well. And then we brought in my great niece and nephew. And we kind of questioned why we left the house.
Right. Like things changed. So what changed? Like what did you notice?
Oh my goodness. Well, when we first brought them home, there was blood all the time. Somebody was getting hurt. So our youngest 2 were 3 and 5, and our adopted, or they were foster at the time, were 3 and 5. They were removed from their home, their birth family, at 1 and 3. So a lot of neglect there. And then they went into a foster home, which had some more neglect, unfortunately. Then they came to our home, and we expected them to function like our 3 and 5 year old, and they could not.
Interesting. Yeah, so keep going.
To echo that, your question was, what did it look like before? Mm-hmm. I would say pretty normal, with the exception of 5 children rather than, you know, a lot of families only have 2, maybe 3 kids. So,
right.
But pretty normal. Our kids functioned high enough capacity where we could go do things, and it was, you know, it was just a family unit. Yeah. After we brought them in, things got a little not hectic as much as you never knew what to expect, because we never knew what to expect.
Well, that's a fair thing. So then are you trying to use the same parenting techniques that were working for your kids?
We did for a while.
That's right. Okay. And so then what was life like then? You got these 2 new ones and you're like, we're going to love them and we're going to treat them like one of our own. And the tactics that you are using are clearly not working. What is life like in the home then?
I think my teenagers, which are now 21, 18, and 16, would tell you that I screamed all the time. And I could snap or whistle at my bio kids and they knew, shoot, mom means business. Now, I went through a time where my voice was hoarse because I just kept getting louder, thinking they're going to stop if I, yeah. it didn't help.
We knew early that there were going to be issues just because the background. We knew that there were going to be some issues. But because we were uneducated in FASD and the aftermath, what the children are going through, we didn't know what issues. So it got really, I mean, it was like walking on eggshells every day. Never knew.
No, that's fair. Lots of yelling then, right? Trying to keep everyone together and more blood because, and frankly, in terms of now they're fighting with everybody and with each other, we could say the placement in your home wasn't as stable as perhaps previous years. Is that a safe assertion?
Correct.
What then made you look into ulterior forms of action? Did they have a diagnosis before, or did you guys even advocated for that, correct?
We have advocated that. They, nothing. We asked if there was anything with disabilities, any diagnosis, and they said, no, this is just Carter being Carter, which meant nothing to me. That was just, he was acting up. And I'm like, well, I have three boys, so I get that. But when he first came to our home, he was running into walls. He would trip over things. So we're starting with just elimination, check his eyes, make sure the pediatrician, did occupational therapy, did physical therapy. We had autism because they suspected autism when he was in foster care. So we went through that.
Well, and by running in walls, our house that we lived in town, when they moved in with us, there was a doorway. I'll never forget this. There was a doorway that led from our dining room into our living room. That doorway was 8 foot wide. Dean, which his name was Carter when we adopted at adoption, he changed his name. He wouldn't walk through. He, mind you, 3 years old, three, would not walk through that doorway without hitting a part of his body on the door jamb. It's 8 foot wide. He weighed 25 pounds.
And so what are you thinking? Like, something's going on, but where did FASD come into the mix?
One pediatrician said, has he been diagnosed with FASD? And I said, no, what's that? Because I didn't even know. And she's like, well, if he didn't get diagnosed while he was in foster care, we'll just move on. Okay. So then later on, I brought that up to a friend who said, you should really listen to this podcast, which then we listened to the podcast.
Oh, cool. Oh, so that's
all the time.
Oh, okay, cool. So that's how you found us. A friend of yours mentioned the podcast. Yeah. Neato. Well, we got to thank that friend, that's for sure, because you guys have been part of our community. You heard the podcast. Then I say, hey, listen, I'm doing this workshop. Do the workshop.
Yeah.
You decided to jump on board for our full coaching program. When you did that, what problems were you looking to solve and or get answers to?
Well, it was October of 2020. So we were just coming off of COVID the initial. Right. We also had right before COVID hit that spring, we had a neuropsych done that was recommended from their counselor. And we got the results in July of 2020. And they said, your children are fine. You're bad parents. And I thought, you are kidding me.
It didn't say that in so many words.
That's okay. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you.
I could get proof.
Yeah. Okay. But, so it says that it's insinuating that you interpret it as such.
Yes. And so I'm not even sure if you had posted 30 days, 5 minute clips each day.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I'm not the problem here. I now know that I could be the problem, but.
You weren't a bad parent. Weren't a bad parent. You had these other kids, right, who were functioning and for the most part doing well. And, you're like, I'm a good person and I'm really trying here. So how did that make you feel when, it felt like they were basically saying it was your parenting?
Horrible.
Yeah, it was. I remember the results of that evaluation and Sarah and I talking that if what we're doing isn't working, we've got to find something that works, because we weren't going to make it long term. I mean, we were going to push them back into the system, or we were going to be insane ourselves if we kept fighting this every single day and it just continued on the way that it was.
Yeah, you're starting to wear out. You could see what's going on, right? Like, you can kind of predict the future of keep it doing this way. You jump in with us, which is excellent. Now, I want to know, what are some of your big aha moments? What are some of your takeaways? What are some of the things that you learned, no matter how big or how small, that has been able to help you change the way things are?
I will start here, because Sarah she's a studier, and she is dig in, find out everything there is to find out, go through everything. And if it makes sense to her, she's ready to jump in both feet. I am way more reserved. I don't trust. And I'll get there. I'll come around here full circle. I don't trust things as quickly as what Sarah does. Yeah. So at first I'm like, nah, I don't know if this really makes that much
Who's
sense.
This punk kid from Northern Canada telling me how to run my life? I get it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't so much that. It was just that, you know, in my brain and the way I was raised, you know, this system of parenting has worked for hundreds of years. It's going to continue to work. It's got to be the kid.
Understood.
You know, this kid just needs to understand discipline and respect, and they'll get there. We just got to make sure that we stand our ground. We've got to teach them this. And so the biggest aha moment for me that brought me around and more saturated with the FASD learning was, you had mentioned pretty early on, in maybe right in the beginning of the workshop or something, that it's an invisible disability, I think was the phrase that you used.
Yeah, I'll correct everyone now. Hold on, Brad. Now we use hidden. We learn new stuff. I learned that too. And I just learned that. So we're all learning. I can't help teaching. I can't help it. I can't help it. You know, I can't help it. So yes, you are right. It's a hidden disability. You can't see it.
Yeah. Well, so prior to hearing that, I thought that it was, you know, everyone's fault that was in any type of parenting role prior to us. It wasn't the kid, you know, so I was wanting to discipline the FASD out of them. We're gonna get past this and move on with our lives. And when you mentioned that, it just was kind of a paradigm shift within my mind, going, okay, it's a disability. I've never thought about it being a disability. And it made so much sense to me then to go back and kind of take stock of where we were, because one of the things Sarah didn't mention with the blood, a lot of the blood was, they come to us at 3 and 5 years old and couldn't pedal a bicycle. They couldn't do so many just normal muscular things that children can do that are their age. I mean, Lainey was 5 years old and she pushed a bike with her feet. She'd sit on the seat, hold on to the handlebars. Even with training wheels, she would push it with her feet instead of even pedaling with training wheels. Dean was on a tricycle and would push it the same way. And, you know, the backside of that tricycle would just drive that up on his ankles over and over. I mean, I think we own stock in Johnson & Johnson Band-Aid Company now. Like, that's my version of where
they want. No, and that's fair.
But I never thought about that as being part of a disability. And I never thought about the temperament and the explosive,
right? That's a great point.
Frustrations,
Brad,
as being part of the disability. I just thought, well, they had terrible home life, terrible structure, not a great foster care experience. So they just need structure. They need structure. They need solid parenting. They need a mom and a dad and discipline. And it'll, you know, we'll get there. It's just going to be a long road. And then, like I said, when you mention invisible or now hidden disability, man, that was for me, that was huge. Understanding that it was a disability that we were dealing with, not an attitude or a disobedience.
Well said. Yeah, not willful, not purposeful, not trying to work against you. It's their brain and body that's working against them. That was really well said, Brad. What do you think now when you hear yourself verbally say the way you used to think about things?
Well, that I've still got a lot to learn. We all have a lot to learn, but
you've come a long way.
Sure.
Yeah. Everybody's volume. Yeah.
No, it's Brad.
Okay. I'm the same way though.
Because Brad. The volume, our son gets triggered.
Sure.
By the volume, and he's going to get it in there. So takeaways for me.
Yeah.
Stage, not age. That was huge because half the time he just turned 8, but he functions and with neuropsych as a 3-year-old. That's where we are. And that's okay. But he can talk like an 8-year-old and he looks 8. But we don't play like an 8-year-old and we don't interact always. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And you just got to ride that roller coaster. Grief was amazing.
Learning about grief
and the whole process. And you have, and it's daily because that sometimes it's just memories that pop up or I was talking about some of the loss of potential. You know, and I see that even with my own bio kids now, because we have secondary trauma from some of this and not anybody's fault, but we still live here. So many good things.
No, that's a lot of good things. Like you guys have both come a long way. And I like kind of what you said. You learn from the neuropsych and from some of our training that stage, not age. He's 8, but he's really 3, and that's okay. How long did it take you to get from he's not 8, he's 3, but that's okay? How did you get to the and that's okay part?
That would have been a year ago.
I think we're still getting on some fronts, honestly. When we're active, we're still active in our community. I'm not a firefighter or a medic anymore, so I'm not in the same arenas, but we're very active in our church, and we try to participate in some of the community programs that take place. And so we still have a level of expectation that, okay, you're 8 years old, act like it kind of thing. And sometimes still we're battling that it's okay. And then sometimes because of it being a hidden disability, we battle that it's okay because people around us may not know our children and know their background. And if they're around for long enough, you start to see behaviors and they're like, what in the world is going on here? And then it's kind of like, okay, well, let me introduce you to FASD and welcome. Now you're seeing what we're working with here. So I think still we're still learning that it's okay to not be 8.
That's right. Because it tricks you. And you know what else it tricks you is because then the changes you've made, they improve on their functioning. And sometimes you can almost forget. And so there is a massive symptom and it shakes you a little bit and you're like, hey, grow up. And then it takes you to regulate yourself and then go, whoopsie, you know, my bad, not a big deal. And then we'll keep moving. So a negative situation doesn't turn into a negative rest of the day, month, year, which might have happened in the past. You mentioned with a big smile on your face after people see these behaviors, instead of being like embarrassed or shameful, now you have a big smile and you say, okay, you see now, let me introduce you to FASD. Did you always have that confidence about talking about FASD, or perhaps did some of that confidence come from learning with myself and the other coaches and the community from the Caregiver Kickstart?
Well,
it only came from that.
Yeah. Our only real training about FASD has been from the program and the Kickstart and the Caregiver Club. Now it's one of those things where in Northeast Indiana, you will get an autism or an Asperger diagnosis without testing before they're even willing to look at FASD. It's just not a common, I love the fact that Canada has the resources that it has around FASD. The US is decades behind, in my opinion, with research. And so our only training really has come through, and maybe there's more out there, but we are a part of the community now to a point that we can find any information that we need. We can find what we need if we're looking for something new or if we're dealing with something new.
Is there something that you didn't expect to happen from joining the Caregiver Kickstart?
I did not expect to become such an advocate for my child. In the school, I went to the geneticist, and I have been to other doctors, and they're like, oh, she's speaking our lingo. And that would only come through the coaching and the training.
Yeah, that's excellent. What about your advocacy, Brad? You feel good about it now and having these conversations with either professionals or other parents?
Yeah, I think advocacy is a big one. For me, what I would say I didn't expect out of the club more than advocacy, because I anticipate professionals in a field to be able to give me the information and the resources to be able to become an advocate or to care for, to properly work with networking, stuff like that. What I didn't expect was the community. So the support around community. I see the group on Facebook. Someone puts on a post about really struggling with something, and within minutes of that post going on, not hours or days, within minutes of that post going on, people are commenting, other coaches, other people that are involved in the community, the group, you yourself. I mean, so many people will get on quickly and post and just either encourage or, you know, point back to a specific training clip or just so many different avenues of encouragement, I think, and just builds a great community.
Yeah, it's the best. Someone posts something and then obviously suddenly you see all the little dots, right? Like somebody's writing. Yeah. So to prove your point, absolutely. Now, what's home like now? And the second part of that is, what are some of the wins, no matter how small, how big, what are some of the wins that you guys have been having with the family, with the kiddos on the spectrum? Because we want it.
Sarah said that Dean just turned 8. So yesterday was his birthday. He turned 8. One of his classmates turned 8 today and invited him to a birthday party at a bowling alley with other kids, arcade games, cake, ice cream. I mean, if you can't find enough stimulants in that situation, let's chat again and I'll point some more through the training that we've received here. The information we've gained, we wouldn't have made it. I took Dean to the birthday party and I chose to stay because I fully anticipated issues. I didn't expect to make it. The party was supposed to last 2 hours long. I didn't expect to make it even the full 2 hours. A year ago, we would not have made it 15 minutes. There would have been huge issues. We stayed 2 hours and 15 minutes.
What?
We had a great time.
How did you feel, Brad? You're sitting there watching this. Like, how did you feel inside? Like, you're sitting there. Were you reveling? Like, or are you just like, thank gosh, and just playing on your phone so that you had a couple minutes peace?
Well, long story short, I got there and I knew the whole family that this little 8-year-old belonged to that we were celebrating. So I got to catch up with the family that I haven't known. First responder. EMS.
Oh, right. So because he was able to, you could connect with the other families that you knew so well.
I could chill with the other adults. And
yeah, that's so cool. Sorry, Sarah. What about yourself? What a great win. That's fantastic. No,
it's not done. Because after the party, he usually, when he's home, he takes an hour nap every afternoon. And he's okay with that. He enjoys that. But he missed the nap time. So they got home about close to 5. And at 6 o'clock, family was coming over for his birthday party. So, you know, that's like stack attack.
Yeah.
We're going to really cause problems. And my mom and dad were there, and they just said today how well he did. And they were shocked. There was no meltdowns. So it went really well. Other wins are, goodness, our daughter is not having meltdowns.
She'll be 10 in a few days. She has an IEP at school. This is my huge win for her. She has an IEP at school. Sarah and I are actually a little concerned that they're going to want to try to remove that, because she's doing well enough at school that a lot of the accommodations that were absolute necessities last year, they don't even really look at this year so far. So, yeah.
But you know what's cool is that you can already anticipate, you know, this is why she's doing well. And from learning, from training, understanding that, like, you know, that that's what people will try and do is remove them, because the overall goal is independence. And so now we're learning, whoa, whoa, whoa. And now it's to fight to keep them. This is the reason why she's doing so well. And while the accommodations would look different, she's going to still need them the rest of her life. They're just going to change in certain ways, right? As she grows and develops in other areas of the brain. That is so cool. And so what about going out now as a family? Like, we know what to expect. We have a plan. When you go out together as the whole bunch.
Well, we just took all of them out to an Italian restaurant on Friday night, because then we had to go to a play that was an hour and a half long. And I was expecting failure, but it went well. And I was really nervous because it was, since it's in a sit-down restaurant, you know, there's higher, no one wants to hear screaming children. And they all did well. And so, and they even had pop. They had soda pops. He still did well with sugar, but I don't know. We provide that stable placement. We are consistent. We're firm when needed, but yet we give lots of leniency, you know, grace throughout all of it, because we all screw up.
Yeah.
Well, and another thing that has been really big for me especially is planning an out. Just like you had mentioned at the birthday, and I was ready. I stayed at the bowling alley birthday party, fully anticipating having to grab him, pack up, and leave. Mm-hmm. But we do that in most circumstances. We have, or we're at least mentally prepared to, if this turns into a disaster, we're just going to pack up and leave. And yep, that's going to have to be okay. The only way that we will ever grow is by putting ourselves in situations and circumstances to allow growth. If you feel like there's like you are not fully grown in any arena, FASD included, the opportunity to grow is to become a part of a team that will promote it and put the tools in place to grow.
Last thing I'll say about this, because you guys have been amazing. Do you have hope for the future?
Not just hope, though. I mean, we've got education to know what to be prepared for, to what that future likely is going to entail and will most assuredly look like. There's certain things that our two kiddos, they're going to need the rest of their life. They likely will not have the capacity to handle finances, probably ever. And if they do, great, fantastic. But we're prepared, just like being prepared with an out. You know, we're mentally prepared that in the future, this is likely going to be needed. So what do we do? Where do we seek opportunities for them to be, or just avenues to put them in places where they can be successful? Because without it, without the trainings and without putting that in place, society will deem them a failure. And we know now that it's just accommodations that are needed. So
this guy could take my freaking job. Do you hear him, Sarah? Do you hear Brad? Bang, bang. That's amazing, Brad. Not that I'm amazed by your intellect, right? But I'm just amazed. Like, I personally am just reveling a little bit when I hear just the language that we've been using and so messages we've been trying to promote in our group, to see them land and to be the see them actually, you know, successful and tangible in the real world. It just gets me fired up, buddy. That's all.
Your teacher's proud.
That's good.
Yeah, that's that. Sarah, and then you just translated for him very well, Sarah. Honestly, I just love the fact to see where you guys have been and to see where you are now, and with the size of family that you guys have, and taking on, you know, your other family members to now melt and make them a part of your family, and to see you guys functioning, it's awesome. And I just appreciate you, and thanks for doing this.
We appreciate you, and we appreciate the club and all the members.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you more, so there. Oh, my goodness, right? Aren't they the best? What a great couple. What a great family. Brad, Sarah, thank you so much for doing this. Like, 7 kids, man. And let's just go over some of the things that they talked about, because this is what this is about. It's about what's working for them now, right? Pre-kids, they were very outgoing as a family. Pre-adoption, I should say. Everybody knew them in the community. They're involved with their church. And then they adopted their niece and nephew. And they questioned why they even left the house, or should they even go out? This is what they were saying. Brad was saying, we expected them to function like our own 3 and 5-year-olds, and they could not. That is just a natural general error people will make, because they don't know what they don't know. So while they knew that there was some issues in the previous placement, they still didn't know, because a lot of our guys looked normal, talked normal, and they tried to use the same parenting strategies. I'm not being overly dramatic, but they said when the kids came, there was blood everywhere. Everybody was bleeding. Everybody was getting cut and nicked and scraped. Brad said, you know, when they're using the same parenting techniques that they have used on their other kids and it doesn't work, then Brad gets to a place where you don't know what to expect. So you don't know what to expect with your kids, and that is a very scary place to be. Because for the other 5, you knew exactly what to do and you got to a stable state. But then you throw these 2 in the mix and now they don't know what to expect. Like Sarah was saying, I could snap or whistle and the kids would know I mean business. Whose mom didn't do that? Whose mom? My mom would slam her hand on the table and say, Jeffrey James Noble, like just a little with her 4 little fingers on the end, just like. And then you'd be like, whoa. And then they use your full name, and then you know you're in crap, right? But with our kiddos and individuals on the spectrum who can't read social cues and might not be where they are chronologically, developmentally, so they are emotionally young. And she would then yell louder, thinking, okay, if I show them I'm really stern. And the more I yelled, the louder I yelled, the more I assumed my kids would comply, and that never worked. So their oldest, 16, 18, and 21, they would tell you that mom screamed all the time. And then she went through a time where her voice was hoarse. Have you ever had that, where you have been yelling so much at your kids and trying to keep things together that your voice got hoarse? They knew there were going to be issues because, right, of the background. But because they were uneducated in FASD, they didn't know what issues. It was like walking on eggshells every day. I have heard that terminology so much. I have felt that terminology so much. When you are just sitting on a powder keg and you are just trying to tiptoe and not ruffle any feathers because you're not sure. So your limbic system is on high alert. Your cortisol, like your stress hormones, are just pumping. That's what it feels like, because you don't know what's going to happen. Is it going to be a verbal assault, a physical assault? This is true for you. So if you're like, yeah, that is what I'm dealing with, you are not alone. You are not alone at all. Then what happens is somebody says there's no history of any disorder or disability. So they started eliminating to look at other therapies. We rule out FASD last when we should be including it first. How many of you out there have done different therapies, have done ABA therapy or this sort of therapy or that therapy, or talking to this professional or seeing this professional, and it still doesn't work? Luckily for Sarah, that's cool. I love to hear this stuff. She said she brought it up to a friend, and her friend suggested they listen to my podcast. I believe that it has been all word of mouth. So shout out to that friend. And how many of you are listening because somebody suggested the podcast to you? And that's super cool. And you could do the same thing. Go ahead, share the podcast. People either will love you or they'll think, why do you listen to this weirdo? And that is okay too. It makes you eccentric. Sarah talked about getting this neuropsych, and that she interpreted is that they were saying it was her. She was the problem. It was a parenting problem. That Brad's like, it didn't say that. Well, she said, that's how I felt. And that's just as valid. That's how you feel. Is a lot of times you will feel, and you've been in a position where people will roundabout way in some sort of facetious and slightly sly, sarcastic comment, say it's like, what are you doing at home? And I know parents who had to even take parenting classes. Like, how humiliating is that? That's not very empowering at all, even if the agency meant well. I like how Sarah was like, I'm not the problem. And then she said something very unique. She said, I know now I could be the problem. See, that is a very different mindset. She is not a bad parent. She is trying, but now she knows with some training that sometimes she could have been the problem. Sometimes we could have escalated things and taken it, caused an escalation in our kiddo's meltdown. But that doesn't mean you're a bad parent. And Brad simply said, we had to find something that worked or we weren't going to make it. We're going to either push these kids back into the system or we're going to end up going insane. Can you relate to that? We got to find something that works. Either, you know, the placement's going to break down. This is what happens, like placements break down. So, or you go insane. And then that's your mental health declines too. But then I want to get to the, what's the ahas, what's the wins? Brad talked about learning that it was a hidden disability. And I know I had to stop him right in the middle and say, it is a hidden disability. I used to say it was an invisible disability. And then I was taught and shown the evidence that individuals on the spectrum would prefer it be hidden because they already feel invisible. And I'm like, that makes sense, which works well because I have a relationship with these guys. So it's easy to just say, hey, Brad, they switched it now. This is what we're saying. And you could see even in the rest of the interview, boom, he switched it right to hidden. Because it's no big deal. I wasn't coming at it like, oh, dude, say it like this because you're getting the words wrong. Mm-mm. And that's when you advocate as well. That's kind of the cadence and the demeanor. No, no, I learned this and I'm doing this now. And it's not like, it's like, here's a heads up, not you're doing it wrong, because nobody wants to do it wrong. Anyway, that was my little tangent. But he talked about when he learned it was a hidden disability. Because when he started, he assumed that the kids could function just like his other kids. And okay, I know that there was some issues, but we, you know, will be a little bit gentler in our approach, but this shouldn't take a long time for you to understand it. This way has to work. It's worked for hundreds of years. And so learning that it was a disability and that the kids aren't being rude or aren't not trying or trying to be manipulative or unmotivated, that's not the case at all. So it was a paradigm shift. He said, I never thought about it being a disability. And it is, just like if someone was blind or somebody was physically impaired, like was a paraplegic. It made sense to me to go back and take stock of where we were. I thought it was attitude or disobedience. And now learning that it is a disability has really helped him out. Sarah learned that stage, not age. We talk about that a lot in our full coaching program. Toxin looks like an 8-year-old, but developmentally is younger. And this is what we know as like a inconsistent body profile where they have really strong strengths in certain areas and they're really weak in other areas. But one of the strengths is our kids look normal and could talk normal. And that makes it very tough to see that there's a disability because our own conscious and subconscious mind, we get fooled by that because it all checks out when we're talking to somebody. Oh, they get it. And so we're making all these assumptions based on what they look and what they say. And that's not the case. And then grief and loss and how it comes in waves, but she's learned how to deal with it and learned how to move through the grief and loss. And when it is there, it doesn't turn a negative situation into a bad day, week, month, year. Because that's what happens. We get this spiral of negativity and this almost momentum of chaos. But once you realize some of the feelings that I'm feeling are actually in terms of grief and loss, you could learn about working through that. And it's awesome. It really is awesome. And then I'm like, okay, so then what's it like now? Now they have the confidence to talk about FASD. They are part of our community. They can come to us if they need any information. Sarah didn't expect to become such an advocate for her child, but that by proxy is what happens when you are yourself, your disability informed, when you're FASD informed, and you know what's going on, and we've rehearsed what to say to other people, and we've practiced what to say to other people, and just your knowledge of the disability deepens. It becomes second nature. And Brad, what he didn't expect was the support in the community that we have in our group, because you could know everything on your own, but trying to do it on your own is really tough. And of course, I wanted some wins, man. That is a big part. I want some success. Give me some of that FASD success. And this story was excellent. Brad talked about his 8-year-old who was invited to a party. Now that he's been trained, he's got the information. He fully anticipated problems, which is what you want to do. You want to plan for the worst, hope for the best. He didn't expect to make it. And a year ago, they would have made it 15 minutes. 2 hours. 2 hours, man. Think about that. And my favorite part is I got to catch up, chill, and connect with other parents. I got to be a parent and not worry about the stares, not worry about the way your kid's going to behave or if they're not going to behave or if they're going to do something, waiting for the other shoe to drop or a snarky remark from a parent. He didn't worry about any of that. He got to catch up, chill, and connect with other parents. And then later in the day, they had a family party that also went well. So he was able to extend his area and his endurance. But I would also tell the family right away, just get ready for the next few days. You know what I'm talking about? That's when you empathy up and you get ready to accommodate. They can now also go out as a family. And that is a big deal. Going out as a family together and having hope for the future. That's the best part. Getting wins right now. Being able to be as normal as they want to be while still having these excellent kids and seeing hope for the future. That's what this is all about. There was the IEP wins for the girl and the birthday wins. Advocacy. So good. So good, friends. So I just, again, want to thank Sarah. I want to thank Bradley. This is what you're going to hear more of, actually, in our free workshop. Starts November 6th.
Sunday.
We'll have 3 sessions. We'll have the 6th, the 8th, and then the 10th, so every 3 days. And that's going to be all about something different each time. And I'm going to share a lot of case studies. I have a lot. Like, honestly, we have a lot. So I tried to get a mix of folks in our community that are doing different things, that have different things working for them. So you could say, hey, maybe that could work with us. But again, we've already got, what, like 680 or something, 680 people that are already registered. Join us, man. Join us if you like this. I would just love to interact with you. I can see your sweet face. We'll do it through Zoom. The sessions will be recorded. If you can't make one or some, or you have a different time zone, I could never, ever meet everybody's time zone because that isn't an impossibility. So we will absolutely have everything recorded. So I know if this has been a long year for you, guess what? Like, here we come. Here I come. Here comes the community. You should be excited. We're going to give you some kick-ass education, understanding, and you're going to basically live in our world for a whole week. We got lots of really cool things planned because you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve all of this. You deserve to know better. You deserve to do better, live better, all that stuff, because I know how hard you're grinding, and especially if you've listened to this up to this point. Yeah, you're awesome. FASDsuccess.com/FASD workshop. If you have any questions about it, you just email me, jeff@FASDforever.com. So until next week, I'm going to bring another story, another family, another what are they doing that's working, because we need to figure this situation out for you. All right, until next week, I love your face. Keep grinding. Keep doing the hard work. We're almost there, and I will see you next week. All right, until then, bye.